Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Habang muling hinaharap ng mundo ang panibagong sigalot, mabilis ring nagbabago ang takbo ng balita. Pagkatapos ng mga pag-atake ng US at Israel sa Iran noong katapusan ng nakaraang buwan, lumala ang digmaan at kumalat sa mas malawak na bahagi ng Middle East. Dahil sa mga retaliatory na opensiba ng Iran laban sa ilang bansa sa Gulf, kabilang ang mga pangunahing travel hub tulad ng Dubai. Pero paano nga ba tumutugon ang mga manunood sa sunod-sunod na imahe at kwento ng karahasan at digmaan? Ayon sa 2025 Reuters Digital Report, tumaas ang bilang ng mga umiiwas sa balita sa buong mundo, lalo na sa kabataan at sa mga walang university degree. Natuklasan din na pangunahing dahilan nito ang negatibong epekto ng balita sa emosyon, pati na ang sobrang coverage ng digmaan at sigalot. Kaya ito ba ang tinatawag na compassion fatigue o atrocity fatigue o epekto ng vicarious trauma? Ang posible ay kombinasyon ito ng lahat. Ayon kay Dr. Ayesha Jahangir, isang lecturer sa University of New South Wales na dalubhasa sa war reporting, sabi niya may pangamba sa unti-unting pagiging manhid ng mga tao sa karahasan. Pero hindi raw ibig sabihin nito na wala nang pakialam ang mga tao.
Susan Sontag argues that repeated exposure to images of suffering can gradually dull the initial shock. When audiences see destruction or injured civilians or bodies being pulled out from rubble, as we have been witnessing those, or grieving families again and again, the images do start to become blur. And this is also connected to the spectatorship of violence, how violence is presented to us as something extraordinary, but the extraordinary aspect of violence slowly fades away when it's not extraordinary anymore.
Ginamit ni Dr. Jahangir ang terminong atrocity fatigue upang ipaliwanag ang ganitong sitwasyon.
I use the word atrocity fatigue because stories from war zones can be, some stories, if they are, you know, the way they are presented, can be heartwarming as well and can carry hope and solidarity. But particularly stories about atrocity after another, and then the normalization of that atrocities can also cause atrocity fatigue. There's a gradual emotional numbing that occurs when audiences are repeatedly exposed to news and images of conflict, crisis, and human suffering.
Kasabay nito, ang paulit-ulit na exposure sa ganitong karahasan ay maaaring magdulot ng vicarious trauma. Ayon sa American Psychiatric Association, ang trauma ay ang pagdanas o pagsaksi sa matinding stress na lampas sa kakayahan ng isang tao na makayanan o sumasalungat sa kanyang paniniwala sa mundo. Ito ang depinisyon na ginamit ni Dr. Susan Rees, Professor ng Psychiatry at Mental Health mula sa University of New South Wales, sa kanyang mga pag-aaral tungkol sa trauma at mga apektadong komunidad.
So people who are repeatedly exposed to violent imagery and narrative stories, accounts, particularly I guess through this 24-hour, you know, news cycle that we have, this social media ever-present. This is can produce, and the research has shown this, is secondary or vicarious trauma. And this can even happen for people who are, you know, geographically distanced from those events.
Ayon sa kanyang pananaliksik, ang mga taong may koneksyon sa isang lugar na apektado ng digmaan sa pamamagitan ng pamilya, kultura o kung saan man sila nakatira, ay mas mataas ang posibilidad na makaranas ng psychological stress. Sa pag-aaral ng mental health ng mga kababaihang residente sa Australia sa panahon ng 2023-2024, 2024 Middle East conflict, nakita ang pagtaas ng panic disorder symptoms habang nagaganap ang kaguluhan. Dagdag pa ni Dr. Rees, kahit sinumang nakasaksi ng paulit-ulit na karahasan ay maaaring maranasan ang vicarious trauma. Tulad ng ipinapakita sa mga aral mula sa September 11 at Boston Marathon bombing.
When you have all that media exposure, it can create acute stress symptoms in people. Anxiety, sleep disturbances, intrusive imagery, and this just heightened perceptions of threat.
Ang tanong, ano ang sanhi ng vicarious trauma at compassion fatigue? Malaki ang papel ng social media. Sabi ng Reuters Digital Report, marami na ang nakakakuha ng balita sa social media at video platforms na nagre-resulta sa fragmented media at posibleng maling impormasyon. Ayon kay Alexandra Wake, professor ng journalism sa RMIT, sa traditional na balita, ini-edit ang pinakamatinding imahe. Pero sa social media, walang pinipili, lahat ay ipinapakita o nilalantad.
But since live streaming became a thing on people's, you know, phones, that everyone in the world now has the ability to pick up the phone and start filming, we now through social media are exposed to the most horrific, unedited events that happen around us and all over the world. At any point, you can just open up your phone and watch the most awful footage of anything you really wanted to find, you can find it on the internet. And I think that that's a tremendous problem for society.
Ayon kay Professor Wake, ang sobrang impormasyon sa social media ay maaaring magdulot ng pakiramdam ng walang magawa. Kaya't maraming tao ang umiiwas sa balita.
What's happening in Iran, you know, again with this sort of situation of, you know, schools being bombed and children being killed and, you know, the terrible things that are happening in our world right now. There's two things. One is people are tired of watching conflicts. And the other thing is just the whole desensitization to, you know, to it. You know, there's so much of it out there. And it just, you know, it's just always there. And also I think sitting here in Australia, for many of us, we have no capacity to do anything or to influence the events. And I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like, well, I don't want to watch it. Some days I just don't want to watch it because there's nothing I can do to stop it happening.
Binanggit ni Dr. Jehanga ang Canadian philosopher na si Marshall McLuhan na nagsabing, "The medium is the message." Ibig sabihin, ang paraan o plataporma kung paano inihahatid ang impormasyon ay nakakaapekto sa kung paano ito nauunawaan at nararanasan ng mga tao. Pero ayon kay Dr. Jehanga, sa panahon ng social media, hindi na ganap na naaangkop ang konseptong ito dahil karamihan ng impormasyon ay digital na ang pinagmumulan.
So what then happens is the message that we are receiving, which is a message of violence, a message of life that, yes, it's inevitable to find lifeless or wounded children being pulled under the rubble. It is okay that some people will have to die, that some schools will have to be bombed, you know. What then happens is that violence becomes the message itself. And so this violence that is being, of course, conveyed to us hours and hours again and again starts to affect us in a way where we start normalizing these things.
Dagdag pa ni Dr. Rees, karaniwang ginagamit ng mga kasamahan niya sa psychology at psychiatry ang terminong compassion fatigue para sa mga taong direktang naaapektuhan o nagtatrabaho sa traumatic situation. Ngunit ngayon, sabi niya, nararanasan na rin ito ng mas nakararaming tao dahil sa digital media kung saan tuloy-tuloy ang pagkalantad sa digmaan at paghihirap.
So this produces this sort of empathic distress where over time it can produce this emotional numbing effect, this withdrawal, this avoidance. And I think it's often a protective coping response to this endless exposure. The person becomes emotionally exhausted by it, especially when, and this is really important, they're not able to enact change or take any action to help those being harmed. So there's this deep sense of powerlessness as well.
Ang tanong, kailangan ba talagang iwasan ang balita? Sabi ng mga eksperto, pwede namang pangasiwaan o i-manage ang pakiramdam ng pagod at helplessness sa sobrang balita. Bilang isang mamamahayag na nag-aaral ng trauma, payo ni Professor Wake, pumili ng iisang platform at news organization para hindi ka ma-overwhelm.
I truly believe that just one half-hour news bulletin a night is more than enough for people, or a daily newspaper, or even, you know, one radio current affairs program, or even, you know, looking online. Lots of people want to look online. Find your favorite traditional news outlet, trusted news platform, and just read that. You know, you can get a really good understanding of what's going on in the world from one source. You know, I used to tell people to go to two different sources. But if you're not feeling great about the world, going to multiple news sources is not going to help.
Maaari ring gumanap ng papel ang industriya ng balita. Ayon kay Dr. Jahanga, mahalaga ang wika at may responsibilidad ang mga news organization na ipakita ang epekto sa tao ng mga digmaan at karahasan at magbigay ng konteksto sa mga marahas na insidente.
If they do it collectively, can begin by reporting war and conflict and suffering that comes with it in ways that foreground human consequences rather than sanitized military language. And of course, carefully choosing who is speaking, on behalf of whom, who has the true agency to speak, and not fogging these realities for the public further, because it's already, especially in the age of AI, it's very difficult to find that information, reliable information. So this means providing context that explains why violence occurs, why certain images are published, and why others are not.
Pagbahagi pa ni Dr. Riz, hindi dapat tuluyang iwasan ang balita. Kung hindi, pamahalaan o pangasiwaan kung gaano karami at anong klaseng balita ang susubaybayan.
I think it's really important for media, and this is from a mental health perspective because I'm not a media expert, but I can see that this graphic imagery that's sort of superficial, the stories are superficial without context. It's more based on the imagery and the impact. I think that's really, should be guarded against. And also, I think examples of where people who are trying to make sense of the enormity of human suffering need stories in context. And I also think it's true to say that people need to limit time, set aside time for watching it, but don't let yourself become an obsession or become compulsive where you're sort of watching and listening all the time, because that's not healthy.
Hinihikayat din niya ang mga tao na gumawa ng aksyon sa mga digmaan at karahasan para magkaroon ng pakiramdam ng sariling kapangyarihan.
But what can you do to become more empowered? You know, like, what sort of actions can you do that can actually help your mental health and help you to sort of feel like you have agency? So things like, you know, joining or being engaged with humanitarian responses, maybe fundraising, getting people together in groups to share information, you know, in a constructive way, being able to, take social action, you know, lawful social action, like even attend rallies and things like that, where you feel like you're part of a group that really care and that you really feel like you're doing something, and that's really empowering and really good for mental health.
Ang ulat na ito ay binuo ni Catriona Stirad para sa SBS News na isinalin sa ating wika. Ako si Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.